All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? We're having some good times, and the show hasn't even started yet. But hey, everybody's present and accounted for. The Moonlighter is here. Nick the Quick is changing clothes out of his broadcasting suit and getting back into his producer role. Barry's here. I'm here. We're ready to go. We're going to entertain you for the next 3 hours on The Usual Suspects. Hope you all are having a good day. Brisk out there, but nice.
Yeah, I was not expecting that this morning. I went to take the trash out, and I had no idea how hot or cold it was. I opened the garage, and I'm in some shorts and a t-shirt with no shoes on.
Ooh.
And I get about three steps down the garage and was like, oh, my God. And the ice, there was the frost all over the grass. And I was like, did it snow again? Man, it was cold out there. 28 degrees is what it said that it was at my house.
Really? That cold?
28 degrees is what
I didn't see that. But I left earlier, so I don't know if it's the winter, the temperature
like
has dropped.
6 o'clock or 6:30 or something like that.
It was
okay.
Brisk. I know
maybe
that.
7. Yeah, pretty damn cold, but that was my weather station, so it might be broke. Who knows? But yeah, pretty damn cold. But following up from yesterday, we did it, Bama. Good job.
Yeah, did you see Steve Kerr was like Roll Tide, and then he was like War Eagle for Auburn, but whatever it was, he was very pro-Alabama.
Yeah, I was a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. I was a little nervous. But it was close too. It was real close. But I'm happy that the good folks of Alabama. I feel like the state of Alabama is like that uncle that you have that you don't know if they're gonna do or say something inappropriate, and then they start drinking, and then you're worried that they're gonna maybe like say something racist in front of your friends. That's kind of what Alabama is as a state. So I was like, you don't know how this is gonna go. You just don't know, but yeah, it went well, so good for them.
But for those who don't know, I mean, you want to explain the situation in Alabama? Because not everybody is probably in tune to that.
You don't think so?
I think most people know what happened with Roy Moore.
You don't think
We didn't even mention it. That's why, I mean, no one mentioned Roy Moore. That's the only reason why I was saying it.
Okay.
I think people are in tune.
Yeah.
I probably should rephrase that, but I'm just saying, you know. Look, what killed me about it is that when people are saying 40 years ago, you know, in Alabama, you know, people would be flattered that someone like that is hitting on my 14-year-old daughter. I'm like, what?
They actually said that?
Yeah, there's audio of it. There's people saying that.
That's crazy. Yeah, if you're not aware, you're Roy
insane.
Moore was running for Senate for a senator seat in from Alabama, and he was accused of sexual misconduct with teenage girls. So
apparently, he was on a watch list like at a mall one time because he was being creepy.
Really?
Like he was going.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, like he was going up to like girls and he was just like for whatever reason he was drawing like, himself towards females at weird places. He would go to high schools
playing weird games. Like, all right, in one of my front pockets is $1.
Oh God!
And the other one there isn't. You get one guess.
Got this game called Twister at my house.
Uncle Pockets. That's a weird game to play. Yeah, but good for Alabama. Got that done. Did you also hear about the kid? What's his name? Keaton?
The bullied kid?
The kid that was getting bullied, apparently. And I don't know this to be true or not, but allegedly, supposedly, whatever you want to say, he had called some kids the N-word, which is why he was getting picked on.
Oh.
And then there were pictures that surfaced of him and his family holding rebel flags, and his mom, an MMA fighter from L.A. or from California, reached out to her. And she basically said, just send me some money. I'm a single mom. I'm trying to get some money. And he was like, no, I don't want to give you money. I don't want to do that. And then she basically implied, well, don't we have to stick together, us white people? And he was like, you. And then
she
called
that to Joe Schilling.
Right?
Yeah, is it? It was Joe Schilling.
It was Joe
yeah.
Schilling who's making these accusations, which is freaking crazy.
I want to find the tweet because he basically told
he
her.
He put it up on Instagram, or like a video.
You think
Instagram.
About this now.
Is it his
LeBron
Instagram?
James
or Twitter?
Came to his defense. Sean Salisbury offered him tickets to the Ohio State USC game. The Tennessee Titans, the University of Tennessee football team, and athletic director Phil Fulmer. Everybody was coming out to try and support this kid for being bullied.
That's a bad look. That's a really bad look. I'm trying to find it. Yeah. So I retweeted Joe Schilling's video that he did. But, yeah, he basically called her the C word, too, which was highly inappropriate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was not having it. And then, of course, her GoFundMe account got suspended by GoFundMe or is being
And it was up to, like, what,
$57,000? I tell you what, man, it's sad when you see that stuff because when you see a kid, it makes you question now, or it certainly has to make you hesitant at least when the next time you see a kid that's talking about being bullied, now people are going to hesitate a little bit, and you never want that. I mean, you just don't want it. You want to be able to believe that it is happening and that it happens to people, but, man, that's just sad. It's unfortunate because I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that kid was getting picked on. I'm sure the truth lies somewhere in the middle. It normally does.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, that's an overall bad look. That's a bad look for mom, and it's a bad look because the next time people are going to think about doing something nice because of what they've seen and try and reach out and do something, they're going to think twice because of crap like that.
Yep, trying to monetize
because the whole
kids.
Thing started yesterday, right? When they started
2 days ago,
they started,
I believe
they started looking at the mom's profile.
Yeah,
and they had Confederate flags all over the place.
It's funny because a couple of my friends on Facebook, some folks from LA and other places around the country, were like, "Man, I don't know if I believe this." And this one guy was like, "Yeah, I saw one guy that was like, you guys are falling for this, and it's just not true. All these celebrities are." Just trying to make themselves look good, but they're just being fake and they're just trying to capitalize on it. I was like, man, that's just, you're so cynical. And then another guy was like, yeah, I don't believe this. I think there's more to this story. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, it's sad that you guys won't believe this. And then all this happens. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess they were right a little bit at least.
Man, that's crazy though.
Yeah. Sad.
It is. It's absolutely a shame that society has gotten us to the point where this is what we are faced with.
Somebody said Nick Saban got 20,000 write-in votes in Bama. I don't know that that is the actual number. I know there were 11,000 write-ins the last time I saw a number.
Now, I'm intrigued by the other Republican
senator.
Darren Revelle
was just like, I wonder how many of them were Nick Saban. I saw that.
A few days ago, another Republican senator was like, I will not put Roy Moore on my ballot, but I will put an upstanding citizen that I totally believe in from the state of Alabama. I wonder if he put Nick Saban. It wouldn't surprise me, to be honest with you.
If you were voting in Texas, if you were picking a sports person, who would it be?
To be?
Currently.
To be?
If you were writing in a sports guy in Texas.
Watt.
Yo, that's a good one.
After $37 million raised, that man can put some political funds on the table and do some things.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Nick, who would you pick? Would you try to think outside the box?
Four.
If you were like, because in Alabama, they wrote in Nick Saban.
As a write-in candidate.
As a write-in
candidate for senator.
Who
would you write in as a sports figure in Houston? I said J.J. Watt.
It's a good one.
That is a good one. It kind of has to be J.J. Watt. But does it have to be a sports figure?
Well, your guy.
That's the point, because Nick Saban was the write-in.
Yeah.
So you're thinking from that's Nick Saban is God.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't want to put Ed Oliver in that mix because he didn't have that kind of.
Your guy's got his citizenship. You can do that way.
I know who I would do. I would probably go with because J.J. Watt's a good one, but I would. I would go Mark.
Oh,
Cuban.
Hakeem Olajuwon. That is a good one.
I would go Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban is a very good one.
Well, he's going to run for president. A lot of people believe next time
I just,
up.
I don't know. I don't know what his political affiliation is, Republican or Democrat or whatever. I'm assuming he's a Republican just because he's a billionaire. But I think I would trust him in some form or capacity, even
that's
though he's weird.
Too.
He likes to think outside the box. But
He's been very, very vocal about in everything in the political arena in the last, say, year or so. And there's been a lot of people begging him to run the next
yep.
time.
Couple of people already texting Nolan Ryan would be a good one.
That's a good one.
And Mattress Mac, but he's not necessarily sports. But another one was Greg Popovich. I think Popovich would be a really good senator.
I think you're right.
Because he's no BS. Yeah. He calls it like he sees it. He's not fake. He's not going to give you a politically correct answer. That's a really good call.
I don't disagree.
On Popovich. I kind of like that.
He's kind of like a little bit tougher version of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
You know?
Tom Savage for Senate. I should block you on text
Jeez.
For that. Tom Savage. Get out of here.
We got a full show lined up for you today. We're going to take you till 4 o'clock, and we always like you to be participatory within the show. That's why we call it the usual suspects, because you are the usual suspects that keep us going. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can text, you can call, and or you can hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And if you weren't aware, and you aren't a usual suspect, then you wouldn't be aware of the fact that today is another Way Back Wednesday, and today we're doing songs that make your bass go boom in the car pre-2000. I will be our number one.
Right? We like the cars that go boom. Was La Trim?
I think so.
Okay.
I had a couple, theme. By the way, of mine on your list, too.
Stole my this song. I mean, he blatantly did this on purpose.
There was no thievery involved. I submitted my list first. I waited to see if there was a rebuttal.
Guys, y'all
and there
sent
wasn't.
It like 15 minutes apart.
Both last night.
Because I had totally forgot. And then I see Joel, and the first one out of the box is because 2 weeks ago when this subject came up, I said, there's that one song that you could play in your car that made your speaker sound good. And for me, it was Posse on Broadway. So then when we choose this, the first one he does.
He was referring to it because Jerk. I had it on my list that day.
Jerk.
And I used it back then, and I'm using it again now.
Well, we've got a full 3 hours for the listeners to judge, Barry. You'll be all right.
So lose one in hour number one, but post the list again, Nick, because everybody will be interested.
That's right. That's right.
There you have it. So we'll post the list for Way Back Wednesday.
Mine is somewhat obscure.
Nick does not have a single song on his list as of now.
Well, correct. I got one of his. He's got an extra one.
Two. You've got two. You've got one of his and two of mine.
All right, sweet.
Yeah, so you've got three.
I clearly have the best list.
Mike Leach. No, we're not voting Mike Leach for Senate.
All right, so we'll continue to roll on. If you want to reach us, you know how. We've just getting started. We're going to keep rolling along. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, segment two already rolling along as we continue to roll with the Way Back Wednesday. I got hour number one. Who's taking hour number two?
Who do you think?
You.
Yeah.
Because Nick needs to
buy time.
Because
his list ain't ready.
Because my list is incomplete.
And Nick will be number three.
He's too busy doing his other shows.
Moonlighting. Crapping on our show.
Yeah.
I wasn't crapping on the show.
It's fancy.
Well,
you didn't talk
you
mess
for
about
the
us?
Entire prep hour.
No, they're
Let's
actually
be
picking
real.
On
we
me.
Didn't prep at all. We didn't
Trey
do anything.
Did. Trey prepped us.
We sat out there. I just sat out there and commented on soccer.
If intern Trey prepped you guys,
we're in trouble for the next
really
3 hours.
I'm really worried about this program.
No, I just sat out there and talked about soccer, having no idea anything about. I was just making up player names. I was like, ooh, that was a sweet kick by Stojanovic. No idea if that was. That's just. And then they were like, who's that? I was like, I'm just making things up. Oh, and I did do something productive, though, while I was out there.
What's that?
I was sitting at the desk where Jong sits, and he left his computer open.
Oh.
So first thing I was going to do was tweet out like, hey, if anyone's looking to get me something for Christmas, and then put like a pair of pumps or something.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that. Instead, what I did was I emailed myself my year in review. So I just opened up his Gmail and sent myself an email that said, here's your year in review, Barry. And then I gave myself all excellence and a raise. And then I sent that, and then I replied to him. I was like, man, thank you so much, John. So
never leaving my computer around
ever. We'll see when he noticed it. I know he read it, but he was recording his comic podcast.
Oh, that was
what
the perfect time to do it. Comic-Cast.
Comic-Cast. Yeah. He was recording that when I sent it. So it's good times. So I'm getting a raise, guys.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Weren't you also getting your own show?
Yeah, he said I was so good I should have my own show. He doesn't understand. Like, I got an excellent in teamwork. Because he doesn't understand how I can put up with you and Joel.
Teamwork can make the team
work.
Yeah,
I got an excellent in all of everything. Overall, everything. It was great. It was a great review.
I like how you
It's put, almost like I wrote it.
I like how you made Joel and myself the two guys that are not team players on this.
No, I just said I got an excellent for putting up with y'all.
Yeah, why are you putting up with us?
I mean, because I have to. Right?
Okay.
The sounds that you hear appear closer than they are simply because the damn internet's not working here.
Yeah.
Where's my internet? I need it.
I'm going to bitch about the internet if it doesn't function on my new computer.
By the way, you guys can stop texting us. We already have our list for Way Back Wednesday.
That happens every week. Yeah, that's not going to stop.
They're doing requests. That's true. It's not going to stop.
But if you have a couple of them, you can throw that.
Just DM them. I don't want to see them. I've already made my list. And most of the ones you guys are texting are on there. Did you watch the Lakers game last night at all?
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you what.
I stomached about half of it.
Did you see the stretch where that was fantastic?
Nope.
Like, I had it on, but I was doing other things. And all of a sudden, I heard the crowd going absolutely nuts. I think they scored 10 straight baskets. And over a period of about 3.5 minutes, neither team could miss. And it was just like nonstop action up and down the floor. And I was like, whoa. We haven't seen Knicks Lakers games like this in maybe forever.
You know, it's funny because the very first thing they want to do is like, oh, LaVar Ball, Lonzo Ball. He did pretty well for a Laker. Their debut at Madison Square Garden. Could you reach any more ESPN to try to come up with a stat to make that game somewhat relevant or make his performance somewhat relevant? Because I don't care that he went, what do you go, 10-8-8 or something like that. That doesn't impress me. I mean, I'm sorry. And Madison Square Garden isn't what it was when Magic Johnson was playing there.
Right.
Let's just be honest. I mean, it's just not the same. This isn't, I mean, the Knicks are looking better. They've got a few, you know, they've got something working over there.
The unicorn is balling.
Yeah. But this isn't the same. It's not the same thing. So stop trying to make up stuff to make that game relevant. But I had to change the channel. Because as soon as I saw Lonzo Ball hit a shot, I could see his stupid dad standing up in that big red Sports shirt.
Line, yeah.
And I was like, I'm not watching this. I'm not going to participate and give a view or a rating or whatever to this program because that dude has a camera fixed on him, and he shouldn't. He's not the story.
He had the two kids with him, too.
Yeah.
Which haven't headed off to Lithuania.
The Lithuanian superstars?
Yeah.
Or will be?
That was the most annoying part. I'll tell you what was impressive, though. Off a dead run fast break, they threw an alley-oop at the 10, and Lonzo Ball came out of nowhere to throw it home. And I was like, I had to rerun it like three times going, that was really him? It looked like, who's the kid that should be starting that they bring off the bench at that point? Jordan Clarkson. I was like, that had to be Clarkson. No. Lonzo Ball dunked that? Yeah, he had a stretch where he had 10 points in the third quarter where you were like, he's making shots.
Yeah. God, his jumper is so ugly.
So ugly.
I just...
Someone made the great comparison. If he wants to not change his mechanics and learn how to make that shot, call Kevin Martin. They look very similar.
Yeah, yeah.
They really do. But Kevin Martin was a dead-eye shooter, as Rockets fans can admit. Just don't let him get into a fourth quarter or crunch time, because then those shots go away.
Was Mark Jackson calling the game?
Yeah, Mark Jackson and Mike Green.
I thought I recognized his voice, but at one point he says, you know, there's... Nobody comes in this league and stays a bad shooter. What? Yeah, they do.
Yeah, there's been plenty.
He's like, I mean, and then he starts naming guys that became good shooters, and he's trying to make that point about Lonzo Ball, and I'm just like, that's not the same. Like, but their mechanics were okay. His mechanics are flawed.
I gave you the two that I said did completely make themselves into jump shooters that weren't coming into the league, Peyton and Kidd. Of the two, Peyton had the flaw with a hitch in his giddy up, where his neck would snap back on his jumper. Jason Kidd was just a matter of just getting, it wasn't more as mechanics, it was just kind of like the ball positioning and the things like that. But yeah, there's been plenty of guys that just can't shoot.
Yeah, and they don't fix it.
No.
I mean, they just can't. They're not shooters, and they should be, but they're not.
Yeah.
Or they want to be, but they're not. By the way, are we having app issues or signal issues?
I think we're having everything.
I will look
issues.
Into it. I wasn't aware. I wasn't informed during the Dell and Rahil show. So,
well, somebody texted and said, "Man, all I want to do in life is listen to you guys, but between the signal and the app crashing every 2 minutes, it's almost impossible. Please fix it, Jesus." I don't know. Yeah,
the Lord said, "Rise up, Nick."
Sure. We want our peeps to be able to hear the show. We've got all this great stuff to tell them.
Yeah, and put a bug in someone's ear that the damn internet.
Yeah. All right, AJ Blank.
That's right.
Hey, are we doing picks today, by the way? I know you were too, you couldn't prep with us, but I think we should do picks today because I'm not here tomorrow or Friday.
We should do picks. I think okay. And you should let us know what your comic of the week is. Oh. That way we do those.
I think Barry just takes the L on all games this week, and Nick adds 7.
It's because I'm one game behind him, because I've clawed my way back.
How'd you do in college?
I mean, I'm not living in the past,
okay,
though. I'm living in the
question.
Present.
What's
I'm just
done
saying.
Is done.
I'm living in the present. That's uh-huh. all.
All right.
You know, I think I had better picks last season. I should have actually kept up with them.
Really?
Yeah. I think I tore you guys
kind of
up.
Like
actually, I don't
football.
Know at all. I'm totally
kind of like
lying right now.
Football? Should have kept up with it.
What is this? What is this?
That's a Sonic talking all that jazz.
Oh, yeah.
The first, the actual start of the song is where you got just
bass.
The bass. Yeah.
I might have a whack YouTube version.
I don't know if this would bump in a car, though.
Oh, it was. The first, like I'm saying, the first would it boom, 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 right at the start of the song.
Yeah. It is kind of a quick, like.
Yeah.
Cause bass
but that's
is
it?
To, like,
I mean, it's a good song.
All right, so that's a negative on your list.
All right.
No,
so in terms
lost.
Of bass, it's a great song, but in terms of a bass song.
It doesn't make your system go boom.
You guys can both suck.
It doesn't make it hit.
I already told you I put
right.
Q-Tip on my
well,
list, and I don't care.
Q-Tip, I'm going to give you a ton
but
of credit for.
Yeah, that's a good song, but it's now between you and me, Nick.
Yeah, that's it. It's over, right? With this song?
Greg's going to leave for the holidays
so
with a poinsettia coming out of some orifice of his body.
Oh, you're gonna try to shove that plant in my butt, huh? Is that what's gonna happen?
Could be your pie hole. Could be. Could
get
be
Facebook
anything.
Live fired up because this is gonna
Jeez.
Be fun.
All right, we'll continue with the Wayback Wednesday right here on the Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. Lance Zierlein's actually scheduled to join us at some point if he can figure out
might
his
be
vehicle
2:00.
And times and slots and all the kind of things that a big time superstar doesn't have to worry about when he does radio on somebody else's show. But hey, we'll welcome him with open arms whenever he shows up. We'll be back with more right here on ESPN 97.5. Seems to me that you have a problem.
So we can see what... My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on a Wayback Wednesday as we continue to roll on The Usual Suspects. Rockets back in action tonight, boys, against Dwight Howard. And the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see the reaction and the fan welcoming.
So Dwight Howard. You think they forgot about him already?
Yes. Especially with the way the team's playing.
I looked at his numbers on paper, though.
Let me tell you something. He's having a hell of a year. I was talking to Mario about this the other night. If you look at highlights of him, it's amazing. He's putting the ball on the floor. He's creating his own shot. It's like all the things you wanted him to do for the first 10 or 15 years of his career, 10, 12 years of his career, he's suddenly doing, and it's like, where's the epiphany that all of a sudden maybe Dwight gets to the Bible Belt and everything changes for him and he refocuses?
I don't know.
I don't know what happened.
He is playing in Charlotte, though.
He is playing very well.
And you have to imagine that it won't last, what he's doing.
But look at his numbers, like from an overall perspective, like from the from the past three teams, right? The Bobcats, I mean the Hornets, the Hawks, and then the Rockets, and it's pretty much the same, with an exception for the fact that he's getting less minutes. Like this, the past two or three seasons, he hasn't been averaging more than 30 minutes. But almost every other season before that, he's averaging at least 30 minutes. And so, it makes you wonder why people have kind of forgotten about him. I don't know if it's because of his personality or whatever, and the fact that he was kind of dubbed the locker room cancer. But I've always said, regardless of his play, he's an impact player on the floor. You know what I mean? Like, he changes the game a little bit.
The one that I've struggled with the most out of everything that's said about Dwight Howard is that Jeff Van Gundy was adamant the other night, too, and I couldn't believe it, that he's a Hall of Famer. He's so disappointing to me.
Who, Jeff Van Gundy?
No, Dwight Howard.
And he's like, got, what?
No, he's,
yeah, I thought you meant Jeff Van
no,
Gundy
No, Jeff
said
Van
that.
Gundy was adamant that Dwight Howard's going to be a Hall of Famer, he said. And I just thought about that for a second, let it resonate, and going, man, I don't know. I mean, here's a guy that had all the talent in the world, and he's only tapping into about 55% of it. Yet, yeah, he's early on, he had some really good years in Orlando. You know, pick or choose a few years here or there. Sometimes he won by default the All-Star nomination because there really weren't any other centers to speak of, and he was the most popular name. But overall, when you look at him, to me, it's a, I just think disappointing.
If you look at his year from Orlando to the Lakers and then the Lakers to Houston, he dipped going to the Lakers. But then when he came to Houston, his numbers were up slightly. He was points per game was up a little bit. Blocks were down a little bit. His rebounds were about the same. But his I think he got better his first year. But then those slowly went down, and that's why he ended up getting moved and not being here, because it got worse. And but that's why they didn't want him here anymore, because he went from 18 to 15 to 13 points a game. His rebounding numbers went down from what they used to be. Right now in Charlotte, to Nick's point, and to your point, he's kind of averaging his career averages. But it surprises me that his career average in points is only 17 a game. I would have thought it would have been more than
He had a few down years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He had 2 years in a row of 13.
Yeah.
In Houston and in Atlanta.
That's definitely going to hurt the mean for sure. I mean, even despite having all the years where he averaged over 20, I know. But he's probably 10 seasons where he averaged more than, or 8 seasons where he averaged at least 20.
But his blocks per game are down a little bit compared to his career average, but his points are there, his rebounds are there. Shooting percentage is a little bit down, but not much. But I mean, he's playing much better than he was when he was in Atlanta when he left Houston.
Yeah, the one thing that I'll say too is that's what I was telling you guys. The highlights that I've seen in the games that I've watched, normally when Dwight Howard does anything, he has to start with his butt on the low block and someone's got to give him a perfect entry pass. This year, he's taking guys off the dribble and he's putting them on spin cycle. He's literally spinning and moving and doing things that Akeem and Mikhail were trying to teach him for his entire existence in Houston. And suddenly it's like the light went on and he's doing some things that I was just like, whoa, that's Dwight Howard? So, you know, maybe it's too little too late. Maybe it's, you know, just in the nick of time, but he's actually playing pretty good basketball. Clint Capella, it's going to be interesting. For all those great alley-oops the other night and how many times Harden just threw it at the rim, Dwight knows exactly what's coming. He's played enough against Clint Capella, and for what he is or isn't, he's so much stronger and more physical than Clint. I want to see how Capella plays him tonight.
I think it's going to be fun to watch those two go at it, but I think it's going to, a lot of who wins that matchup is going to depend on how well Harden and Chris Paul run that pick and roll, because I don't know that Dwight and I know he knows how it's run and the way the Rockets do that, but I don't even know if Dwight's going to be able to stop that, because you've got to respect what Harden does. You've got to respect what Chris Paul does. So I think Capella's success hinges really not so much on his ability and what he can do or if Dwight can stop him, but on how well Chris Paul and James Harden, where they find him and how they find him in the pick and roll and otherwise.
I do know he's a good enough defender. He's not going to do the Boogie Cousins and just go F it and walk like somewhere in between the basket and the dotted line and go, you guys can score either way. I think that he'll somehow figure out a way to get in the way of the pick and roll and at least defend one of the two players. But it'll be interesting to see.
He's going to have to do that because I can't really remember Dwight Howard being a good perimeter defender, and I'm not saying you have to be going up against Clint Capella, but a lot of times Clint Capella kind of starts out from around the three-point line when he runs to the basket for that alley-oop pass to Harden. And you're right, he's probably going to, the fact that he knows that is probably going to help him a little bit. He can probably telegraph it a little bit, but I think it's going to be difficult because Clint is actually a little bit faster. He's going to run down the lane. He's going to have to catch up or at least just literally stand right in front of him to prevent that alley-oop. He knows it's going to happen because Dwight was getting it from Harden even when he was here.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I think the reason why those two are going to have such a good game is because they're going to motivate each other. I think Dwight's going to want to prove a point that he's still better, and I think Clint's going to want to show how much stronger he is now than he was this season and the season when Dwight Howard was the starter.
Don't disregard the fact that James is going to want to make a statement to Dwight and everybody else,
absolutely,
period, because of the fact that that didn't work out. So it'll be interesting to see. Should be fun to watch. Nick, you make two great points, though. The fact that Capella knows how to play the caboose of the train, he waits until Harden takes the defense with him, and then he makes that beeline to the basket. That's how he gets a lot of those easy loops, which Dwight really couldn't figure out. That'll be interesting. And the cardiovascular factor, the fact that Clint
way
spends
stronger
all evening going up and down the floor, Dwight's not going to have that endurance, so it's going to be interesting to see if he doesn't get winded and tuckered out if the Rockets continue to put the pedal down, so that'll be fun. But hey, it's another game, another chance to hopefully get another victory. What do they got? They're looking for 11 in a row now.
11 in a row. There was 10 in a row. They have a game tonight at 8:30 against Charlotte, and then they have another game on Friday. Two late games.
Back to back, Friday, Saturday at home, San Antonio and Milwaukee. Two good ones.
Yeah, they actually have a bunch of good games. Lakers will be in town. I mean, this home stretch, they have some decent games. The Lakers will be in town.
Well, the hype.
Well, the hype around
it. Yeah.
Because Alonzo and all that other stuff. And the fact there's a lot of Lakers fans here. The atmosphere will be better.
I'll tell you this. And the Rockets wasted them in L.A. But the Lakers got a nice little nucleus of talent. Young
They're on the right track, just like the Knicks. I agree with you. After watching that game and finally getting to see them play a little bit, you can see what they're trying to build out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll get there. I mean, I think it's the, you know, it's the West, so it's going to be a little bit more competitive. Even though I feel like right now the West is down overall.
I think definitely up to from what expectations were. I think you're right.
But I you can see what they're building, and I think that Magic and crew are on the right track. And you know, he was there in New York, and apparently after that loss, him and Buss and what's the other guy?
Rob Pelinka is the GM.
Yeah, they were all kind of, according to a tweet that somebody sent out, they were kind of holding court over the team after that loss in the Garden in the locker room. So who knows? Maybe they're on the right track. Also, the story came out that the Lakers met with Papa Ball and asked him to tone it down a little bit. And I'm surprised it took this long for them to have that conversation with him. They've been patient. I think they've handled it well. Luke Walton is a saint, because if I was him, I would have told that dude to hit the road. And I would
because he's taking personal shots at Luke Walton.
And
right.
He has been a saint about it. But apparently Magic and Pelinka and Ball, Papa Ball, all met and had that discussion. And he even in the story where he talks about, he confirms that it took place. So he says, yeah, we had that conversation. You know, they talked to me. I'm always going to say what I want to say.
That's what bothered me.
But they told me to run it by them first so I can respect that. It's like, bro, just could you, you don't have to be an a-hole every chance you get.
Like, get out of your own ego's way and just, and realize, look, they're trying to be nice about this, but I'll be honest with you. If the team really wants to be a-holes, they can just ban him.
And they should.
Being around.
I mean, they absolutely, don't you not agree they should?
I do, because I've been there, and I've been through this. And there have been players that the Rockets had that drove the coaching staff absolutely nuts, and other players they wouldn't even draft because they were already fearful of how involved the parents were going to be. But I know there are two players in particular that, whose parents just could not leave well enough alone and kept meddling to the point where Rudy T was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't.
Can you give us a hint?
Sure. One of them, UCLA.
Ike.
No. And
I had a friend that on the three-point hook shot team that went to UCLA. Ike Nwankwo. Ike Nwankwo. That wasn't him?
No.
Okay.
No. Played for the Rockets after playing for Portland and a couple other teams.
Uh-huh.
Had size 18 feet and was a guard.
I wonder if it would have been better if they just let him.
That's a fact.
That's crazy.
Damn.
But I wonder if...
Hashtag blessed.
I know. Very blessed. Hashtag very blessed.
Hashtag very slow.
Oh, yeah? Well, you got to get them feet out of the way.
I guess.
Well, I wonder if they just let him dig his own grave and just not speak to him. But just let it get to the point where it gets so out of hand that
they
have spoken
with him. That was the point.
Down.
I mean, they met with him.
A powwow.
Yeah.
Ramona Shelburne at ESPN confirmed it. They had a legitimate meeting where they had to address LaVar Ball.
I mean, so it's like, to me, what you're saying is you sit him down and you said, listen, it's getting out of control. We've let you run. We've let you do your thing. You've got to get this under control. You've got to show some respect to Luke Walton, to the team, to this organization. Stop disrespecting us every chance you get because you want the publicity. So after you have that conversation, now it becomes, what's that threshold? I mean, you're on notice now. So it's like, okay.
Because LaVar strikes me as a guy that's going to test his limits even after he's been spoken to.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
He's like a kid. If you say don't touch that, then they barely touch it. I didn't touch it. You did touch it.
Yep.
That's exactly, you're 100% right on that.
And look at how many bridges he's already burned. He burned him with the high school and got the coach fired. Then didn't like the new coach, so he pulled the kid out. Burned him with Steve Alford at UCLA. And burned not only the scholarship that he had for Jello, LiAngelo, the thief, but not only him, but the youngest, who had a full ride, even though, for all intents and purposes, every AAU tape and every film that you see of every kid that game the kids played, he's a gunner. He doesn't make a lot, but he has a lot of ball control. But they thought maybe by the time he's a senior in high school, he could be a five-star recruit. Now, he doesn't have a scholarship. They both have signed with agents. They're both going to play in Lithuania, where the coach, by the way, sells meat out of his trunk during
the
week.
No way.
Yeah, that story came out today.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
meat salesman. My uncle sold meat door to door.
I've got some sausage for you, Betty.
Could you imagine having to sell meat door to door?
And being a basketball coach?
Be like, who is it? You want to buy some meat?
Coach of the Lithuania Rockers.
Bulls got kielbasa today.
What? So this was in the article. This was kind of the synopsis of it. A Lakers insider said that, because Johnson and Pelinka had no comment, but a Lakers insider said the main message to Paul was they've tried to keep their relationship positive while still allowing him to speak his mind, and they'd prefer he did the same. Paul said he agreed with that characterization for the most part. He said, I'm going to say whatever I want to say, however I want to say it. And they said, LeVar, come and talk to us first. So that's fine, too. See, if I would have read that and I was Magic Johnson, I'd be like, you didn't get it. You obviously didn't get what we just asked you to do. You're gone.
Message sent, but it definitely didn't get to the appropriate body's brain cells.
God, that dude's annoying.
Charles Barkley came out and really bashed him, too. We have that audio. We can get to that in a minute, too, because that's some good stuff. But we'll take a break. We'll come back with more. Ben, we see you. You want to get to a topic we covered in detail yesterday. But we can get that call as well. And we'll continue to roll on. If you want to reach us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job of trying to make sure that your needs are met, whether it be for your business or your family. And whatever you're looking for in an energy company, they're going to provide it. It starts with the fact that when you call and pick up the phone and call 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732, you're going to get a human being. You're not going to get an automated system that are so annoying that so many companies use. And that human being is going to start asking questions of you. They want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, what kind of program and plan are you looking for? And they're going to be 100% honest with you. That means sometimes they're going to lose your business to cheaper competition. But like a trusted friend, you're always going to expect honesty from them, and they're going to provide it. They're going to talk to you. They're going to talk you through. They're going to tell you what they can offer, what they can do, and what rates they can give you. And they're going to stay really loyal to you throughout the process. If in the middle of your plan, you want to change it up and you think that you're getting a program that's not fit for you and you need another one, they're going to review that for you. They're going to work with you because they have your back. That's the way they do it. Affordable, hassle-free energy, and they always have your back. And it's 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint, and you're doing your part in the community. It's fantastic. So here's what you need to do. You call 844-INFUSE2, or you get on to infuseenergy.com. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit. And I'm telling you, gang, I speak from experience. I switched to Infuse a few months ago. I have knocked a substantial amount off my bills every single month. My wife and I could not be happier with the energy that they provide and the rates that we're getting. It is fantastic. Check them out. infuseenergy.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with that rap and me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That's the one right there, Joel.
I like that one. Yeah. Paul Revere.
That is a great song. Great,
great
beat,
track.
Great bass. You may
There's
have redeemed yourself.
There's a couple beasties that you could...
I had originally, I had sent Brass Monkey.
That funky monkey.
That one is a good one. What's the other one? Oh, I've got to think of the name of it. It's not Girls.
No.
Intergalactic, maybe?
No. It was from that same era. I'll think of it.
Hang on.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
But I had a couple I took off because I had an LL Cool J's Rock the Bells, but you had an LL on there already, so I didn't want to duplicate that. You had a Beastie Boys, so I didn't want to duplicate that. But there are plenty of good Beastie songs that hit. That hit hard, too. So, you want to do this call? Let's do this call real quick.
So, what you want?
No.
That's a little bit more modern, though.
No, I'll find it. While we talk to Ben, I'll look it up. Ben!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, dude?
So, I know we talked a little bit about it yesterday. I was the guy that called in and had the question about, is anybody actually better with Russell Westbrook than they are without him?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, I guess I'm coming back to touch on it again because actually I woke up this morning and was reading an article that was actually specifically about the Russell Westbrook effect, and it was breaking down certain players about how they played before, after, and during playing with Russell Westbrook. And so they kind of broke it down. The main ones they used were obviously Kevin Durant, and then the ones from this year with Oladipo, Cantor, and Sabonis. And then the main, I guess, contrary one that they had was, I don't even know if you remember the guy, it wasn't too long ago, but Eric Maynor out of, I guess it was VCU or wherever he was from.
Yep.
But they were showing that obviously the points per game and things like that are going to go up whenever you get away from a ball dominant player like Westbrook. They were actually showing like the points over, or the wins over replacement, the field goal percentage, the true shooting percentage, and the PER and things like that. Every single one of the stats essentially skyrocketed whenever they were not playing anymore, with like the exact season, I guess the first season after leaving Russell Westbrook, all of their numbers skyrocketed. And they're like, well, do you contribute that to this, just them getting better, being in their low 20s to mid 20s? Or is that just them getting more opportunity? Or is he actually holding
Ben, look,
back
in the case of Sabonis, in the case of Sabonis, he's on an Indiana team where he's going to be a focal point now. So that's definitely the case. He's getting a lot more run, and he's in a wide-open system that's going to feature more players. We know that it's a ball-dominated system in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook alone, and now you've got three ball-dominant players that we've talked about. You know, the one name that I would throw out there that isn't anything that you mentioned is Serge Ibaka, because Serge Ibaka flourished with the Thunder, and since he left the Thunder, he just hasn't been the same kind of player.
Anything else, Ben?
Yeah, in that article, and I think the actual funny part about the Serge Ibaka part was his numbers actually started going down, which is kind of what I touched on a little bit yesterday before I asked the question. But his numbers actually went down from the first year that James Harden left the team. Ibaka started regressing a little bit. His three-point percentage went up, but every other part of his game started going downhill after that, which that part actually surprised me a lot.
Appreciate the call, Ben. I think Ben's fascinated with the Thunder and making Westbrook own
the scapegoat.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good way to put it. If this is true, and I don't know because I didn't look up, because I don't care, to be honest with you. I don't care that much. I think we've spent more time on the Thunder this week already than I would care to
in
do.
In 2 days, 3 days.
But I think, if anything, you have to keep in mind that with Russell Westbrook, he's such a dynamic talent, and he can take over a game, that all the numbers on the team are going to suffer. So just like when you have a James Harden or a LeBron James, you look at Kyrie. Oh, Kyrie's better now that he's not with LeBron. Yeah, that's because LeBron's going to get his, and there's going to be less opportunities for Kyrie to get his. So when you have guys that are with somebody as good as Westbrook, their numbers are it makes sense that they
You're
go up
right.
because there's more opportunity.
Flip the script. In retrospect, you take that whole thing and say, okay, well, we're going to give all those guys more run and more touches of the ball, but you're going to take away a triple-double averaged for every game. You're going to take away big double-digit points and big double-digit rebounds and assists, and you're going to tell me that the team's better?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. Nope.
There's a reason why he, like you mentioned, LeBron James, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook, they're ball dominant for a reason. They're effective as hell.
Westbrook's numbers went up when Durant left. Does that say something? What that means is Durant is going to get his. And
Absolutely.
Westbrook is going to have to get his whatever's left.
I think an example you can use this season with the Rockets is when Michael Beasley and the Knicks came in town and he put up 30 points on the Rockets. We always knew Beasley could score, but they were dealing with injuries. Beasley got more minutes. He got more shot attempts. He scored 30 points on the Houston Rockets.
And so, they needed him at that time.
Absolutely.
They needed him to help with scoring.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a similar dynamic with Vitor Oladipo going to the Pacers. He's kind of naturally balling. a scorer, but now he has the opportunity to get more shot attempts, more minutes,
yep.
And it's showing.
So. Yep.
It's sloppy seconds is what it is. In Oladipo's case with Oklahoma City, best case scenario was he was getting sloppy seconds when Russ was in trouble or the shot clock was running down or there was a fast break opportunity. But in Indiana, he's the man.
Yeah.
So he is Russell Westbrook.
And the fact, well, don't mistake it, though. If Paul George was still in Indiana and he went there, he wouldn't have that opportunity. So it has everything to do with the fact that he's the man and there's nobody to play second fiddle to. There's nobody to get, like you said, the sloppy seconds on. It makes sense. By the way, the song from the Beastie Boys, Hold It Now, Hit It.
Okay.
That's the one that used to bump pretty good.
Okay.
In the Oldsmobile Omega.
I'm sad.
I can't believe you had an Omega, too. When we were talking about
old
cars.
It was my grandma's, and I got it passed
down
to
me. Was yours a four-door or a two-door?
Two.
Mine was the four door.
Oh, you hit the, yeah.
Yeah, it was fancy. But that just means I was able to put a speaker box back there in the seat.
Yeah, I think we had the two. It was gray.
Was it?
Yeah.
Mine was navy blue and the blinker was broke. So I either had to go.
Fast car, though.
I either had to go old school and use the hand signal, which I still get confused. I think left is just you point out and then right is you point up.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I either had to do that or I had to carry like a screwdriver in my car so I could manually pop the little thing inside the steering column up or down to turn left or right.
Nice.
Yeah, it was ghetto as hell. It was sweet.
What song did I get bumped?
I skipped the Two Live Crew song.
Oh.
I couldn't find a clean version. That's why I skipped it.
Oh,
good call.
Doo-Doo Brown.
Sorry. I'll put it up there on the list, though, when I tweet it out.
Okay, so
good call trying to find the clean one of that.
Way Back Wednesday continues. One hour in the books.
Now we get to a good list.
Plenty more of the big show, including sucky music. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.